It's a good day. Hi, everybody. I'm Rick Sanchez. This is Direct Impact, and this is what we're going to be, as expected, talking about. And there it is. Same old convention song. They play it every time. But a very different candidate in many ways. I'm going to tell you why. This is Direct Impact. Let's do this. Oh, my gosh. There is so much going on. And as we begin this show, there's this kind of a transitional dynamic that's taking place right now in America. So Axios has been reporting that about the same time that a would-be assassin was taking a shot at the former President Trump, Democratic leaders were in this private meeting. This has been very underreported with President Biden. And the meeting got really, really ugly. Democrats say the meeting was, quote, awful. They say when they tried to tell Mr. Biden that his poll numbers were a disaster and that maybe he should consider getting out of the race, Mr. Biden started yelling at them. Seriously, 81 years old, yelling at them, according to reports in Axios, and blaming them for not doing enough to tell people about his accomplishments. This is what Axios is reporting, which is interesting that that's going on. That's what I'm talking about, this transitional dynamic, because as that's happening, here last night is J.D. Vance being introduced as the running mate at the Republican convention.
Senator J.D. Vance.
Let the rest of the world help us for change.
Well, there he is. Vance received a very warm reception. Why? Because, well, I'll be honest with you. Right now, anything that Trump touches is viewed positively. By the way, the fact that Vance used to hate on Trump, once saying that he would rather vote for his dog than Trump or Hillary Clinton, now makes Mr. Trump look kind of, you know, merciful for choosing a guy who used to criticize him. At 39, Vance would be the youngest vice president since Richard Nixon. He's a Marine, former Marine, who's only been a congressman since 2022. And you know what's interesting about this? Not long after Vance was introduced, Mr. Trump, with his ear bandaged, entered the convention hall. Let's play that for them. Vic?
Donald J. Trump.
If tomorrow,
yeah, we got to hear a little bit of this song. Let's go.
Just my children.
Let's get to the chorus line.
Thank my lucky stars.
Here we go.
Because the flag still stands for freedom, and they can't take that away.
Yeehaw, there it is. You know, it doesn't get old. They play that song at every convention. Trump says he had a written speech that was apparently ready to go, where he was going to let Joe Biden have it. But because of the attempted assassination, he says he threw it away. And now he's going to deliver a more unifying speech. There it is, as we watch the former president ear bandaged. Let me bring in my colleague, Manila Chan. Did you watch some of this stuff? What's your reaction?
Oh, I watched all of it, Rick. First, I noticed a lot of differences in this particular convention and even the way the former president walked out. First, he was flanked by a ton more Secret Service agents.
I wonder why.
If you notice.
Yeah.
Right, a ton more.
Right.
And I think the look on his face, just he appeared different. Now, I don't know if this is a temporary thing or if he is somehow a changed man because of this event, but one thing's for sure, Rick, Donald Trump has had the best week ever. I mean, it was an attempted assassination. He lived to tell the story. He survived it by a near miss. He gets the court case down in Florida, Judge Eileen Cannon, throwing that thing out.
Mm-hmm.
It gets dismissed. And Joe Biden is on the ropes.
Yeah.
And now the convention, and then he introduces J.D. Vance, this guy that I think chosen partially because of his youth and partially because of the story, the myth behind J.D. Vance being the hillbilly elegy, and, you know, based on his memoir, his book, right? Whereas Trump is known as a silver spoon child. Here you have the opposite in J.D. Vance. So I think this is the best week ever for Donald Trump.
Well, you mentioned the assassination attempt. There's a remarkable new video out. It came out late last night. I played it on my Spanish version of the show. I want to show you this now. The video shows members of the audience. I don't know if you've seen this, but you've got to look at this. It's members of the audience in Trump's rally. They're actually watching Trump, and all of a sudden they look to the left and they see this guy, a gunman, on the roof, and they actually try to point him out to the police. Let's watch this together and listen to him. You'll hear Trump speaking in the background. Here it is.
I wouldn't even be doing this. I'd be at some beautiful place.
Look, they're all pointing.
The Atlantic, maybe the Pacific.
Yeah, someone's on top of the roof. Look. There he is right there. Right there, see him? He's laying down. See him?
Yeah, he's laying down.
And Scott, I'm here with you, fighting like hell to get a senator.
What's happening?
And to make sure we take back the White House, because if we do, we're going to make America better than ever before. We're going to make it.
Yeah, look. There he is.
Because we have millions and millions officer. Of people in our country that shouldn't be here. Dangerous people.
Criminals.
We have criminals. He's on the roof. He's flat on the roof. Isn't that amazing? Officer, off, there's a guy right there on the roof. They're pointing. Now look at this reaction. This is from the RFK Jr. camp. This is a tweet from his son, Bobby Kennedy III, whose great uncle John F. Kennedy and his grandfather, Robert F. Kennedy, were both assassinated. So here's the tweet. I'm going to read it to you, right? Let's put it up, Vic. There it is. Okay, it says, unsecured rooftop 150 yards away. Multiple witnesses saying they were screaming at the Secret Service and cops for 3 to 4 minutes as they watched the guy with the rifle crawl to the spot and line up his shot. Then he says this, take your Secret Service and shove it up your anatomical part, I guess, is the way maybe I should say it. Wow. I was surprised when I saw that, Manila. What's your reaction?
I'm not that surprised. That third Robert Kennedy there is he's a millennial, right? I think he's in his late 30s. So I'm not surprised that he used language like that. I mean, that's kind of par for the course in that age group on social media. But I think it's what's more surprising for it to come out from Bobby Kennedy III to say something like that is that he is actually married to a CIA officer.
Huh.
So, yeah. So given the whole family, Kennedy family background with the CIA and all of that, and then he marries a CIA agent himself.
Remember, I mean, his great uncle was assassinated, and many say that the CIA and the Secret Service didn't do a very good job with that, nor did they do a very good job in Los Angeles when his grandfather was killed. So, I mean, I think there may be a grudge there that is stuck in time for that family.
Just a little strange.
But before we go, listen, we've got a great guest coming on, Professor Wolf, who's standing by in a little while. But before we do that, there's another story I want to share with you. It's this. According to a profile on Volodymyr Zelensky in Reuters, the former comedian turned president is said to be dealing with severe bouts of, quote, paranoia as he copes with round-the-clock stress and fatigue. Now, apparently, some NATO officials have given him something else to be very much stressed about. There is a new report in Telegraph that says Ukraine is not going to be let into NATO. And the reason Ukraine is being told they will not be letting into NATO is because it is too corrupt. Too corrupt, Manila. Your reaction?
Rick, I'm trying to hold back some laughter.
Are you surprised?
I mean,
I mean,
is this somehow news to Volodymyr Zelensky? I don't understand that whole context of them, like NATO is telling Zelensky about his own country. The guy is in the thick of it. He knows.
Here's what I think that this is what's really going on here. I think somebody needs a story to get out of a mess that's become too much of an entanglement.
Sure.
And they can't just say, we lost. We spent all that money, you know, $200 billion on a war that obviously it certainly looks by all military experts like Russia's going to win. They can't say that. So they have to say, you know what, we're going to back out of this because there's too much corruption in Ukraine. My guess. You say what?
Well, here's this, Rick. It's strange, maybe not strange, that it's on the heels of Donald Trump's attempted assassination and his spike in the polls. And now everybody is expecting this landslide victory come November. And, you know, Trump has said over and over that he is going to stop funding potentially NATO, the war in Ukraine. Just he wants to end this war. So I think Zelensky knows that time is up. So NATO has to come up with some sort of story, because now they're prepping for a Trump return to Washington. And I guess that's the easiest way out. It's kind of weaselly on them, but you know, it's true.
I think the word that I, since we're a little older than you, and maybe the good professor Richard Wolff would use, is the jig is up. I think that's the terminology. The jig
right.
is up. I think. I don't know. We'll have to check the vernacular.
They still say that. It's fair.
What is the correct palaver? Thank you, Manila. Always a pleasure. When we come back, I'm going to be joined by somebody that I've learned so much from over the years. Professor of Economics has called it like it is, continues to do so, and he's going to join us right here in just a little bit. Stay there. We'll be right back. So welcome back. I'm Rick Sanchez. Joining us now is the host of the Economic Update, professor and economist, Dr. Richard Wolff, who recently said this about what's going on, these crazy times we're experiencing in America right now.
That the United States is a deeply divided, deeply troubled society these days. The empire, which we built and ran for the last 75 years, is declining.
And there he is, Richard Wolff. Professor, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you very much for the flattery of clipping my presentation despite my hat.
I like the hat. By the way, I just looked it up in Merriam-Webster. You ready for this? I was right. The jig is up was the word I used, and the definition provided by Merriam-Webster is used to say that a dishonest plan or activity has been discovered and will not be allowed to continue. There you go. I got it right.
Absolutely. And believe me, it has been common knowledge. I follow the European press, and I have for 20 years. It's been common knowledge, front page story, long before Zelensky became the head and since, that is a corrupt country, even by the standards of other countries in Europe who have a lot to say about all that, too.
Do you think the fact that Mr. Biden has put all his eggs in that basket is part of what is costing him so much, added to, obviously, his being in bed with Bibi Netanyahu and what Israel is doing in Gaza, possibly killing 186,000 people, according to the last report?
Yes, I think it's unquestionably part of what has gotten him into the dead end politically that he faces, and the difficulties between now and November that are mounting, literally, as we talk. This war is a disaster. It was a bad idea in the beginning. Mm. Both sides, Russia and Ukraine, were close to an agreement that would have avoided the war very early in February, March, April of 2022. Everybody knew that. It was public knowledge. It was reported across the world in many newspapers. Boris Johnson and Joe Biden said no, prevented it. And the rest is a very sad story. And I think what Americans don't understand, partly because of the way our mass media so often work, is that Russia is winning that war, which should surprise no one. Russia's a very big and powerful country. Ukraine is neither of those.
Yeah.
And even with all the weapons, you know, it's not enough, not a fair fight. The way and the opposite way that Israel and Gaza is a grotesquely unfair fight. And we are on the wrong side of both of those. And, you know, it's not just that. It tells you something about a country that finds itself in these kinds of situations repeatedly.
But, you know, recently I've been paying, as all of us as Americans have, I've been paying a lot of attention to Joe Biden's comments. Not only because obviously he's way over the hill at 81, he mixes up his metaphors, he confuses Putin with Zelensky, he confused Trump with Kamala Harris and everything else, not to mention the debate performance. But putting all that aside, so recently he's been asked a series of questions about his presidency, and he doesn't get it. He's saying things like, for example, he says that he's winning in all the polls that he's been shown. He says that he did a marvelous job bringing NATO together. He says his work in the Middle East with Gaza and what he's doing in Ukraine has been remarkable. I mean, how can he be so out of touch? That's not to say everything he's done is a disaster, but, I mean, what's he reading? Who's he talking to? How can there be such a disparate relationship between the reality that most Americans see and what this, God bless him, this man is saying, Professor?
Well, here's an answer. We live in a culture that is more up to its eyeballs in advertising than any culture on earth. And advertising works in a particular way. The job of the advertiser is to tell you as many good things as possible about whatever it is they're trying to sell, and to hide as many things as possible from the people that they're trying to sell to. And so you end up with a kind of discourse, a kind of speaking or presentation that is hyping the good, often making it up, and hiding or denying the bad, which often we have to face if we're going to solve our problems. That's Mr. Biden. And it's not just him. The Republicans are doing exactly the same thing with their people, who tell you as much good as they can and tell you as little negative as you can. We are being told that Mr. Vance, the newest fellow on the block, by the way, I was born in Ohio. I come from that part of the country. Also, we're being told wonderful things about him, and some of them, I'm no doubt, are true. Mm-hmm. But in Europe, the front page is the fact that when asked the other day about what he thought about Labour Party winning the election in Britain and thereby moving politics in Britain to the left, which is what it did, the election held on July 4th,
right.
Here was his answer. The United Kingdom under Labour may become the first Islamist country with a nuclear weapon. Now, that's beyond stupid.
Yeah.
I don't know what, I don't have an adjective to capture what a new candidate would say to the closest ally that would be designed to offend and outrage everybody.
And yet, performance. But here's what's interesting about him, and this is why this whole thing gets so difficult to understand sometimes. His policy on Ukraine seems to make sense. He seems to be saying, when it comes to Ukraine, we should leave well enough alone. It's none of our business, and we shouldn't be sending $200 billion in some border dispute between two countries. Yet when he talks about Israel, for example, he would seemingly like to see almost every Palestinian dead. So it's fascinating, isn't it, trying to figure these guys out?
Yeah, it is. And it mostly tells you about who have been their political sponsors, their major donors. Come on. I mean, we're smart enough in America to face the reality. The big headline this morning when I got up was that Elon Musk is going to give $1.5 million a day to Mr. Trump for the rest of the campaign. I mean, you know, the old joke that, Rich, you know, right? Mm-hmm. We have the best government money can buy. it's on display. And I think there you'll find the explanation for why he chose Mr. Vance and all the rest of it. It's about the money. And it's really tragic that we have that.
You know, it's funny because when I talk to friends and I tell them, they say, oh, my God, Rick Sanchez, what are you doing these days? I say, well, my perspective is much more global now. And I explain to them that there are people out there that they don't know who are as good, if not much better, than most of our leaders. And I tell them about, you know, the guy who's in Modi, the guy who's in charge of India, who's a very interesting guy and very popular. And I tell them about how Xi in China has like 85% approval. And I tell them how, despite what we say about President Putin, he has like an 80% approval, and that generally when he has a news conference, people tune in and they listen, and then I tell them how different that is from our country, and they look at me like I have horns coming out of my head. But it really is quite a disparity to see some of these global South countries, the way they're being led, comparing them. You love America. I love this country, but I don't love its leaders, and I don't love the system that they're handing us. You get my point.
No, and yes, and I would urge, and that's why programs like yours are as important as they are. The very simple facts, and let me give you one more because it'll drive the point home. This morning, the International Monetary Fund, a global institution in which the United States has participated for many, many decades, issued its announcement, which it periodically does, about how the different parts of the world are growing. How successful are the economies in growing, building their wealth, improving life for their people? Okay, the United States is expected in 2024 to grow 2.6%. Europe, the Eurozone, is expected to grow 0.9%. Okay, so let's say on average between 1% and 2%. Then the same report, a couple of pages later, tells us that India will grow 7% this year and China will grow 5% a year. In other words, the two key countries in the BRICS global bloc are growing three times faster than the, and that's been true for 30 years. You can pretend all you want, but it's changing the world. It's reorganizing the world economy. And Americans are having festivals celebrating a situation that they're no longer sitting on top of. And I watch this process, and it's like watching a train, slow motion, heading towards a stone wall.
Yeah, it's amazing that there is this other entity out there that is knocking on the door and saying, let us in. We want to be your friends. Why do we have to have a NATO and a BRICS? Why don't we combine them and all just get along? Nope. If we don't have enemies, we got big problems over here. We need to have the enemies. But by the way, speaking of people who love enemies, do you think the Democratic Party is going to get rid of Joe Biden and replace him with some other person? I don't know, Michelle Obama, maybe the governor of Michigan or California or who knows?
Well, you know, the big donors are fighting it out. They're not going to do that in public, just like the big donors were fighting out which of the four candidates Mr. Trump had lined up as potential vice presidents they were going to go for.
Huh.
J.D. Vance has gotten tons of money from Peter Thiel and a whole group of tech billionaires from Silicon Valley. They were pushing for him. Others were that's what's going on here. I wish it weren't. I wish we were doing something that the mass of people in a so-called democratic country are supposed to be doing, but they aren't. We are all spectators. And at a certain point, that is not going to wash anymore.
We are all spectators. And at some point, it's not going to wash. You always have a way with words, Professor, and that's why I like having you on. It is so good to see you. Can't wait to talk to you again.
Okay, be my pleasure.
Take care, my friend. And that's our show. Remember to always look outside your own box because, as we always say around here, kind of our mission, really, truths, they don't live in boxes. They're everywhere. I'm Rick Sanchez, and we'll be looking for you next time.